Why can't APS just pay teachers more?
Can my child really learn in a classroom of 30?
Is public education as bad as the media and everyone else says it is?
Everyone has an opinion about Albuquerque public schools. But where do you go to sort out fact from fiction and rumor? Right here. Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast with your host, Mark Goodrum.
Welcome to the APS Open Book Podcast, Episode 11, The JAG Program. My guest today is Christine Moore. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And off mic, we were talking about the program and what it does for all the students that you're involved in. Tell our audience exactly what is the JAG program.
Okay, so JAG is Jobs for America's Graduates. It's a national program. We've been in New Mexico approximately 15 years, at Rio Grande High School for 10 years now. I've been down there 10 years. And we really focus on the students who may need a little extra attention, a little care to be successful in high school. And we focus on graduation first and getting these kids back on track. And then moving them into, once they've graduated, into a career, higher education, or the military. And we also have 1 year of follow-up with each of those students.
Right.
I have monthly contact with my graduates and to be an extra support so that they can be successful after high school. Because unfortunately, we really focus on our kids graduating and then they're left.
Yes.
Right. We leave them. Right. So JAG gives that extra support as well to make sure that they continue to be successful after high school.
So when I read the title of JAG, Jobs for American Graduates, what came to mind at first was that, well, it doesn't give me a little bit of what goes on before the graduation and the jobs. First of all, now, is the program at the middle school level?
We have a middle school program in JAG, but in New Mexico, we currently don't have any middle schools with the program.
Okay.
We're focusing on high school. So we have programs currently in Zuni and Twin Buttes High School, in Bernalillo High School, Rio Grande, and our newest location is Del Norte High School.
Okay. And off the mic, we were talking about the type of students that are coming to your program. And you and I both shared that we could have been one of these students.
Definitely.
Talk a little bit about what kind of student do you have coming to your program?
You know, fortunately, there are a lot of students who have support from home
and
academic support and financial support to be successful. But usually the students that come into JAG are those students who face barriers. And they can be economic, they can be social, academic, attendance may be an issue. They may have run into trouble with the law. They may be pregnant or parenting. So those are students, when they face these barriers, that really need extra, right? They need extra attention. They need help. They need support system. And so the JAG program is developed specifically for, and they are identified usually by other teachers, school administration, counselors. Some are even recommended by current JAG students. They say, hey, I have a friend. This would be perfect. So we conduct interviews and make sure that this is a student that needs that extra assistance. And they're put in the JAG program with us. And currently I have three, JAG 1, 2, and 3. So I can have my JAG students up to 3 years.
Oh, okay. So the 1 and 2 represents the years.
The years.
Okay.
Yeah, and they may come in the program. We have a new program now at Rio Grande. I think this is the third year that we have created a program just for freshmen.
Oh, okay.
Because freshmen is that, it's a struggle year for so many students. And we even experience a lot of dropout after students' freshman year.
That must be the most difficult time, I'm thinking, of that initial 1 year, buying into the program, getting to know you. Now, in my introduction, I failed to say you're the coordinator over at Rio Grande High School for the program. Now, do you have other teachers that are working with you there, or how does that work?
So now we do have a brand new JAG specialist, Kurt Kaufman, and he is the freshman JAG teacher.
I see.
So he teaches, he's the JAG specialist for only the freshmen. And then I teach the sophomores through seniors.
Okay.
And then I have my follow-up students. Like I said, the students who have graduated and...
How many do you have of the follow-up?
Usually, I believe this year I have a smaller class of... I believe, 11 students. Hmm. I've had up to 16, wow. 18 students. We've had job specialists in Bernalillo. I know she's had 20 students in follow-up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That keeps you busy.
It keeps you busy. But but that's the great part, because sure. once they've graduated,
right.
and then you can see the success. Yeah, we were discussing that earlier.
Right.
The students who are well into higher education or going into the military. I have one young lady this year in follow-up who's in the Navy.
Right.
And that's wonderful to see.
So let's say that, let me give you a scenario. I have my son or daughter in high school having difficulty, blah, blah, blah. They get referred to the program.
Mm-hmm.
And now do they, on a daily basis, come to the freshman, or if I've been in a couple of times, come to classes during the day? How does that look?
Yes. So JAG is an elective course.
Oh, okay.
And they get the one credit a year for the course.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give an example of what it looks like. JAG 1 students come in,
mm-hmm.
and the first semester we work a lot on teamwork and leadership, study skills,
right.
time management.
Discipline. All of the nuts and bolts.
Right. The expectation, and I said an expectation. One of the first things I do the first week is I teach my students to shake hands,
mm-hmm.
to introduce themselves, and to look you in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day, it's, you know, students aren't taught this.
Sure.
They come in every day, they shake my hand, they say good morning, and then I make them greet every other student in the classroom, because it's also about creating community.
Sure.
When you walk into your math class, you sit in the same seat every day,
right.
and you talk to the two or three kids around you. In JAG, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so they work with each other through the entire semester, through the entire year on projects,
mm-hmm.
project-based learning. So also in the first semester, those students to continue, they we are doing a project this year, a pilot program called U Science,
mm.
and it's a skills and interest inventory. It's fantastic.
Mm.
And they're going to choose a career now. Our last unit of the semester is public speaking,
right,
and they
right,
present
right on.
This career.
That's great.
Second semester is hardcore. They learn to dress appropriately, business etiquette,
mm-hmm.
and they learn to interview, and they right. create a great resume.
Right,
we go on a job shadow, and we have a big mock interview event.
Great.
So that whole first year is about, you know, getting them back on track
right.
academically,
right.
and then career preparation.
You're also uplifting, as you're speaking, I'm envisioning this, you're uplifting their spirit
mm-hmm.
and their self-worth.
Yes.
And getting them really focused on what they are all about inside in their soul, and that's great.
And part of that, too, is JAG is a career association.
Mm-hmm.
So something like National Honor Society.
Mm.
So the first semester, we elect officers. Each class has officers,
yeah.
and they really feel part of an organization.
Mm-hmm.
For most of these students, they've never belonged to a club.
Sure, sure.
Some of them, they've never belonged to a sport. They've never had a sense of community. And so this is a place for these students who may be on the cusp of dropping out or really, you know, having zero interest in school, having the first sense of belonging.
Sure. You know, and yeah, you brought another thought. Programs, you know, I was a band teacher. And it's all about team, working together,
mm-hmm.
you know, coordinating music and bringing it all together. But not everybody is in orchestra or chorus mm-hmm. or music, and like you said, in the athletic aspect. So this really helps that student that falls, you know, in the crack, kind of, so to speak.
Right.
But now, as you were talking, I was thinking of the AVID program, and I've been out of the loop for a while. He has retired.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't it cross over to AVID quite a bit?
We generally service a different type of student.
Really? Okay.
Usually the students who go into AVID, mm-hmm. are college bound.
Right.
They're
right,
already on
yeah.
that positive path.
Right. Okay.
The JAG students are not.
Okay.
Most of them, when they come into JAG, are not. And so that's part of the point of this program is let's turn these kids into these AVID kids.
Sure.
Let's make them college-bound students or career students or military students,
right.
you know, whatever they want to do after graduation. And that's the point that our goal is once upon graduation,
yeah.
they right. go into a career, straight into a career, or into the military or into higher education. What is not acceptable is the expectation that they're going to live in their mom and dad's basement with
right.
10 cats and play video games all day.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
And so we want to make them productive and positive members of the community.
Yes.
And some of these students aren't on that path when they get into JAG. I mean, right. We gave you some statistics, and most of the time when they come into JAG, their GPA is 1.4 or below. They may have over 20 absences per year.
They're not
attending
class.
You're
trying to get them to school.
Yes. Yeah. And most of the time, when they have this one class that's engaging and it's fun and we do team building and we do activities and we're creating a product in the end, you know, they have a fantastic resume, but it's about making it fun in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to school.
Right.
They come to school.
Now, our last episode of the podcast, episode 12, we're going to be talking about esports.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking, you're at home in the basement with mom and dad playing video games. Now you can make money doing
it. It's a career now.
But it's actually, though, I mean, you can see that along with the JAG program and the esports and BAN and the athletics, just getting and attracting the students to the school,
mm-hmm.
getting them in the chair is what we're trying to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's half the battle. But as I said, when they find something engaging, one thing engaging, and I have had countless students over the last 10 years say, you know what, Miss Moore, your class is the one reason I've come to school.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I take that as a compliment, but more as a success.
Right.
Yeah. That's success to me,
yeah.
to turn a student around and say, yes, now I want an and not only coming into class, but then seeing the value mm-hmm. in their education overall.
Right.
Let's see the end game. Okay, now I can graduate.
Right.
I can go to school. Because 65% of my students at Rio Grande, almost every single year, they're first-generation high school graduates.
Right.
There's no tradition in their family of graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not only making the students see the value of the education, but also the family seeing the value of an education.
Yeah, uplifting the family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that off mic, that you're dealing with generational. And once you uplift the family and saying, wow, okay, look what kind of salary you're getting, look where you are, then that next sister or brother or whoever, or even adult going back to school, you're uplifting the whole generation there.
Right.
Yeah.
They're setting the path.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Great. Now, how's the support at the school? The administration obviously is backing you on that, and other teachers, and then you're an elective, so that might be drawing from other electives. How is the support?
I have been so lucky that in the 10 years I've been at Rio Grande, this is my third administration.
Mm-hmm.
So our principal currently, Valenzuela, is completely on board.
Cool.
This is her first year, but she's already seen the success.
Sure.
And when you can look at the data, which this is a very data-driven program,
mm-hmm.
we keep track of graduation rates, employment rates of our students. And when you can look at the data and see, yes, this is a success.
Right.
You know, at Rio Grande in 10 years, we've been a school that has had a 64% graduation rate. My seniors who have come into JAG have never dropped below 90% graduation.
There you go. Yeah.
And so I think that's such a positive. You can't look at the numbers and not want to continue the program, I think.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have more APS schools on board.
Right.
Definitely. We do have the locations around the state.
Mm-hmm.
But
how does a school do that if a Manzano or, you know, Del Norte, well, you have one at Del Norte
mm-hmm.
already, other schools, how does a school go about doing that?
So we have a national website,
mm-hmm.
JAG.org, but I also have a state director, K. Provolt, who's amazing.
Right.
And if a school wants to get information, they can contact our state director.
Okay.
And she can kind of guide them through the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been lucky that in starting our freshman program a couple of years ago, AT&T is a great national sponsor. And we received grant money to help begin that program, the seed money to start that.
Right.
I know that some schools may have issue because as a JAG coordinator, I may have a caseload of only 50 students,
mm-hmm.
but those are also 50 students who are on the cusp of perhaps leaving your school.
Yeah.
And to turn that number around to a 90% graduation rate
absolutely
is incredible.
Talk about, you told me about you giving them your numbers, and texting and so forth, the after school adventure.
Yeah, you know, the first year I had some trepidation, but I have given all of my students my cell phone number, my personal cell phone number, and I have never had one student abuse it. But that's the other thing about being a JAG coordinator. You must be available for these students because they don't have support. So I've had text messages, you know, after hours, or students who have said, hey, I'm kind of in a bind here. What can I do? Or I need a ride.
Reaching out.
Because many times these students are from families where there's no support. Or maybe they only live with mom and she works.
Sure.
I mean, she works countless hours to support the family. So it's being available. We've started a career closet. We take donations from professionals, so I have neckties and suit jackets and things.
Great.
Because our students also don't have the proper attire.
Right,
you know,
right.
We may take a field trip to a job shadow, a professional environment. New Mexico Department of Workforce Solutions is a great partner of ours, so we go job shadow every year. And they also provide internships for our students in the summer. So they have to go interview for that, look appropriate. So the community has been a great source of support for the JAG program as well.
One of my notes here is, talk about how does a company get involved if they wanted to become part of this group? How do you do that?
They can contact me straight up, send me a text message, send me a call, an email, contact the school, our state director, of course, to join forces and help these students. When I had mock interviews in the spring of last year, I had 26 employers come and start turning people down because I didn't have room.
That's great.
But we had everyone come from Bank of Albuquerque to Dion's, New Mexico Workforce Solutions, Kirtland Air Force Base.
Sure.
You know, a lot of employers want to help. They want to take, you know, interest in these students.
That's what we want to hear. And, you know, going back to the freshmen, you're trying to get those students at ninth grade thinking about their path. You know, I got to share this with you. Mrs. Davis, Lily Davis in Massachusetts, she was a guidance counselor. And she called me in after Dad had passed and said, what do you want to do? I had no clue. And I was a junior, second semester, ready to go in a senior year. And I said to her, quote unquote, well, my dad was in the Army. I guess I'll go in the Army. And she said, well, let me look at your grades. She said, not bad, and I wasn't an A student, but, you know, I didn't get in trouble. And she said, how about college? Have you thought about that? And just blew my mind, didn't even think about it. I don't even think I knew how to spell it, you know. So, but that's the kind of thing that you're talking about, getting those students as freshmen trying to think of where they need to be and uplifting them.
Right. And we spend a lot of time on career readiness.
Sure.
And you know, thinking about college. Now, I know, you know, I'd like to say, oh, every student goes to college.
Right.
But that's
right.
not reality.
Right.
And when you look at the strengths and skills of some of these students, of course, if they can go to college and get a great education, we find those pathways for them. Because their families tell them the same thing. Well, you don't need to go to college. I didn't go to college. You can just get a job. And so many times I have students and I say, what do you want to do? What is it you want to do? I want to be a mechanic because my dad's a mechanic.
Right.
I want to be a cosmetologist because my mom's a cosmetologist. But JAG really opens her eyes to so many other career choices.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, this country right now is lacking thousands of truck drivers.
Absolutely.
So right if on. I have a young lady or a young man who says, you know, I haven't really thought about it, but maybe that'd be interesting, they can come to CNM and get a certification and be working within months right into a career.
Last month, I had the plumber come out to the house. We were just having this conversation. And he said, you know, nobody wants to get dirty anymore.
Nope.
I mean, they can make money.
Right.
You know, good money. You know, it's a, what was the program? Dirty Jobs or something like
that. Oh, right,
that,
right, right.
You know, but you make good money doing it. But there's a lack of those types of skills.
Right. So we count successes of those three things.
Sure.
That student graduates and then goes into a career or or higher education or the military, which are all wonderful options. And also making the students understand the military is not just holding a gun.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, any job you can do in civilian life, there's training and those opportunities available in the military.
Yep.
Become a meteorologist, you know?
And photographer. We learned this firsthand with my oldest, youngest son, Jarrett, who's in the Navy and in the 7th Fleet Band. And as he was going through Sandia, we had to sit down, talk, and he's, you know, I want to play for a living, Dad. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, boom, boom, boom. And one thing led to another. He went to UNM. But we didn't, I didn't know, my wife and I, we didn't know that there were all these other occupations that you, they need dentists right. in the military. Right. And now social media, whoever thought you need a social media person.
Maybe a professional blogger.
in the military, mm-hmm. you know. But that's available for the, and as well, you know, we were talking about video games, you know, right. with drones and everything else. It's a whole new world out there.
We were discussing it in my first period class this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get in a drone program.
Right.
You can learn to do these things. And that's our focus, is to not just get these students to graduate and go work in fast food. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
to really get them into high demand and high wage careers.
Right, yeah.
So what, you know, we want you to focus on something that you'll be able to not just have a job for the rest of your life,
right.
but a career.
Now, you made me think about this, though. I'm in your program. I'm now a junior or a senior, but I want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And money to me in my head at that age is if I go to McDonald's mm-hmm. and I get, you know, and I have a roof over my head, I don't have to pay, you know, rent and so forth. If I make $100 here and there, then I'm doing okay. How do you change that mentality?
Well, McDonald's is actually a really great national sponsor of ours, as well as AT&T. So it's making those students realize too, okay, maybe you get a job at McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
but how do you move up?
Right.
What career and professional skills do you need to get off that front line and get into management?
Right.
Do that. Right. I have a young man who I ran into recently, who's a graduate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated 6 years ago.
Right.
When I had him as a student, his stepfather told him, you don't need to graduate. Mm. Just get a girl, you know, have some babies. You're working at a pizza joint.
Yeah.
And he said, and that was his truth.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely not. Yeah. And he moved up in one of the local pizza places, went into management.
Right.
And now he has worked in the culinary field the last 6 years, and he's getting ready to open his own restaurant.
Yeah.
So he refused to follow that path.
Yeah.
And that's, again, I said some of our students are lacking that.
Right.
But it's really looking at, no matter what career you choose, how can you be the best at it?
Absolutely.
How can you move up and make it a career?
I'm sure that you've shared your background with your students for them to know where you came from.
Right.
Because that's important. They know that, hey, you had similar situation to them, but look where you are.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because working at Rio Grande High School, 95% of my students are Hispanic.
Sure. Yeah.
And so when I walk in, I can see their look sometimes, and they're like, well, who is this educated white woman walking to a classroom to teach me how to do these things? But I did have a difficult time in my childhood, in my youth, and I told them there's probably nothing you're going through that I haven't been through,
which
is the truth. And once you share your personal story and build trust with your students—
They know you care.
They know you care, and they know you understand,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you have compassion. That doesn't mean that I give them a pass.
Sure.
In fact, sometimes I'll tell them, you know, I went through this, and now I have 2 college degrees.
Right.
You can do the same thing. Don't give me an excuse.
Talk about that story you told me off mic about this student and asking him to step outside.
Oh, yes. I have a young man who, he's difficult. He has a difficult family life.
Mm.
He's had behavior issue at school. And so I've seen him around campus the last couple of years. He's finally in my JAG program. I'm excited. But he was gay.
Mm.
And I teach a career preparedness program. So I had an issue with that. You know, be on time. You're not going to retain your job if you're late every day.
Absolutely.
And then I found out also that he had lied to me about not being in class one time for the reason that he gave me. So when he came to class, I asked him to step outside, and we discussed the issues, and we came back into class and carried on. And a week later, we were having a classroom discussion about respect. And he said, you know, Miss Moore, you're the only teacher who has ever asked me to step outside to talk about why you're upset with me and not call me out in the middle of class. Mm. And I find that unfortunate when for educators don't do this. But the second thing is I told him, you know, that's mutual respect. If I want you to respect me, I need to respect you.
There you go.
And you know, your employer, when you work in a job too,
yeah.
you hope that your employer doesn't call you out in the middle of a
go.
Staff meeting
there
as well. We talked right. about that. I always right. try to relate everything to their future.
Sure.
So, you know, he understood that. And now I think by that one action,
mm-hmm.
now he and I have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And so he's building one relationship that he's...
Stepping stones.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a reason to come to school.
And I've got to get you to talk about just the love that you have for your graduates after they leave the program. You talked about how you do reach out to them after graduation.
Yes.
But that must be just the thing when you see it happens.
It's fantastic. So when I begin the year of follow-up with my graduates,
mm-hmm.
that's when we'll share on social media and we'll connect on social media. And I do the month of follow-up. And it becomes a habit with many of my students.
Right.
And so even after that year is over,
mm-hmm.
I still retain contact with so many of my students. And they will message me or
right.
I'll invite them to come and do things with us,
right.
you know, in JAG. One of my previous students just spoke at a leadership conference for our kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to see them, you know, work... Right now, as I told you, I have one working at Department of Workforce Solutions. I still have three. I have to tell this story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a young man several years ago, and he was just the dude on campus, and he had long hair. And when we did our career preparation project, his was on a weed farm. That was his goal. And he played the harmonica at lunch every day. And yeah, now it's
yeah,
a great
I
career.
Was gonna say.
Back in the day, it wasn't legal.
Right.
But, you know, he was just kind of the dude. And
yeah.
the Department of Workforce Solutions in summer internships were coming up and the students had to interview. And so he came and he said, "Miss Moore, I want to interview for one of the jobs."
Sure.
And so we sat down. He already had a great resume.
Mm.
And I said, "There are a couple things you may want to think about doing.
Right.
How are you going to present yourself?" And we talked about it. So he went and he interviewed and he came back and he said, he came back the next day. He'd cut his hair.
Right.
I almost didn't recognize him. You know, we set him up in a tie and a shirt
right.
and he interviewed great. He got the internship.
Wow.
He is still currently an employee at the Department of Workforce Solution in IT.
Oh, there you go.
5 years later. And so it's that kind of a transition
right.
that we
That's
work
it.
For with these kids to
right.
make them see possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. You want to make a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I do. And, you know, I did have a young man come see me this year.
Right.
And he was actually a student that dropped out.
Oh, really?
He was in JAG, dropped out. He had had an internship at Workforce Solutions, but he came back to see me and he said, "You know, Miss Moore, I finished school.
There you go.
I finished, and now he's an apprentice plumber."
Oh, there you go. Hey, gonna
yep.
make some big money.
But the great thing to me about that is he remembered JAG. He
Absolutely.
Remembered what it had done for him,
sure.
and he came back to share the story.
And he had the tools also to
yes.
go on. Yeah.
yeah.
Before I let you go. Talk about your national trip you're going to be taking.
I'm so excited. So Jobs for America's Graduates has a national conference every year in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to take students with us, and they get put into small groups with students from all over the nation,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful. This year I'm taking 8 students, and they get to, it's a leadership conference, so they get to learn new skills there. They get to meet national employers.
Great.
They get to listen to public speakers, senators,
sure.
meet really important people. And they get to tour the nation,
mm-hmm.
and they get to go see the national monuments and
right.
Arlington National Cemetery,
right.
Smithsonian Institutes. And most importantly, for those who want to compete,
mm-hmm.
they have the opportunity. So this year I have students competing in a project-based learning,
mm-hmm.
public speaking,
Great.
Employability skills,
Super.
And take it to a national level. And it's wonderful because the South Valley is where our school is a very isolated community.
Uh-huh.
So usually this is the first time those students get to fly
LA,
and
yeah.
we get to yeah
All
get
the
full experience.
What if I don't have the money? How does that work?
We're extremely lucky at Rio Grande.
Mm-hmm.
My third year students are the students I take,
mm-hmm.
and they run the snack bars all year. We have 2 snack bars,
right.
and those students by the third year in JAG are running their own business.
Super.
So they're running, they're cashiering and
yeah.
counting out drawers and
Great.
Doing inventory, and the money we raise from snack bar completely pays for the trip. We usually try to get some corporate sponsorship or local businesses to assist as well.
Yeah.
And so it's a free trip for these students.
You know, I really love this program. I just recently got to know about it through you. And you're on the front line every day, and this is what makes it work. You know, these young people are moving on to become productive citizens in our community, going on to have families and start other children in great things. And, you know, you're unsung hero.
Well, thank you. That's fine. That's fine with me. But it's my passion.
We're trying to give you a spotlight.
Thank
right
you.
Now.
I love it and I appreciate that compliment, but it's my passion.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
My passion and I love my job.
If others want to become a coordinator mm-hmm. or get involved in helping the youth, and how can I do that?
They can contact Kay Provolt, our state director.
Okay.
Yeah, the first step with JAG New Mexico.
Okay, great.
And yes, she's the one to talk to.
There you go. Because I know we have other mentors out there mm-hmm. and adults that would be great. But, it's just a great program. God bless you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming back again.
Definitely. And thank you for the opportunity to share.
Oh, yeah. We have to get the word out.
Definitely.
Yeah. While we're giving out thanks, this is episode 11. Want to thank the APS Media Department. Every episode, Dan has been here listening to me gabble, gabble, gabble. Thank you so much. And the APS Media Department for all they've done. Mostly, though, we want to thank you for downloading this podcast. You can get it at any place on the internet. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this one. This is such a great program. So if you have a child that you think will benefit from the JAG program, please get in touch with the people we've talked to. And the website again?
JAG.org is our national website.
There you go.
Website, yeah.
There you too. Until next time, always keep smiling.
This podcast is produced by Albuquerque Public Schools and KANW Public Radio. Special thanks to KANW Program Director Kevin Otero. Stay tuned for more meaningful conversation in the months ahead.